B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we just need to execute better, and that starts with me. Just in practice, in the game, like, you got to go out there and do much better than we did today, and it's super embarrassing. Honestly, just from my point, just how I played wasn't good enough, and I can be better, and it starts with me. I'm the quarterback, and that's my job, is to make people around me have success, and it starts with me. So we'll get it fixed. I think, like you said, you know, you got to watch the film and learn from it and realize how embarrassing it is to play that way. But at the same time, we got a great opportunity next week, and that's all you can ask for.
Mac Jones yesterday, saying it was embarrassing, very embarrassing the way he and the team played.
Excuse me, that's super embarrassing.
Super embarrassing.
And stuff.
What's your confidence level in this player right now, Maz Murray?
Go ahead, Murray.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Brady level confidence, 5-ish? 5.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a coin flip. Like, and I would say in a big game, you know, against a good opponent, which is obviously what you're going to get now, I'd have felt so much better if it were Cincinnati, frankly. But the fact that it's Buffalo, like, their chances of throwing the ball well in Buffalo, which has had one of the better pass defenses all year, with or without Tre'Davious White, not good. No, look, you're going to have to win that game by running the ball and beating them 16-14 or something like that.
Yeah, he doesn't completely fold. Again, mental toughness, the kid is tough. Mental toughness at times, though, I think wavers. You see the bad body language, like we were talking about with that Ole after he throws the pick six. I thought there were some good balls, that one to Hunter Henry, the other deep one to Jacoby Myers. You know, the kid completely doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. So I give him credit there. But the way he's gone during, you know, these three games that they've lost over this last month, it now feels like it's more a rookie thing than anything else. Like, rookies are going to take their lumps. He's good for a bad turnover or two in these games now.
Yeah, to me, it isn't like I think the guy's a loser, or it's not that. I just, right now, at least, he's not good enough. He's just not good enough. I don't know any other way to say it. Now, there are some plays he makes. Those balls down the sideline that he has to drop in over a defender.
Excellent.
He's made those all year long. Going back to the James White throw early in the year. It was week one, I think it was, wasn't it? Like, he's good at that throw. He had one a few weeks ago to Jacoby Myers down the left sideline that Myers dropped that he should have had. There was one there, Hunter Henry, that he had in the game against Cleveland, I think, that was absolutely brilliant on the sideline. When he's got to drop one in on the sideline, excellent. He is great at that throw. But there are others I look at still and say he doesn't have the arm for it. It was not strong enough. He had a couple of passes batted down yesterday. Like, I just don't feel right now like he scares anybody. That's all.
Okay. Do you look at him any differently, big picture?
Yes.
Long term?
Yep, I still have my doubts. I do. I have serious doubts about Mac Jones. And again, I'd be lying to you if I told you it didn't factor in that we're at the end of the season. And I understand he may have hit a wall. But I look at a guy like Davis Mills in Houston. Davis Mills' last 6 games, he's been terrific. I mean, really, you look at it, his rating in those games is over 102, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's completed over 68% of his passes. Meanwhile, Jones is going the other way. And so I just think it would be somewhat ironic if after all this stuff, they use a pick on a quarterback in the first round and he's worse than a guy that another team took in the third round. Like, you know, so I want to see how that plays out. But Mills looks to me like he could play.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you, I mean, so you were, you know, doubting of Mac Jones when things were going well.
Correct.
I'm asking the guy that sort of got on the Mac Jones bandwagon. Ooh, we have the guy. Here's the guy. We got the guy. Did the last month, throw some cold water on that? Did that wake you up? Did that make you change your mind on the whole thing? That's the guy that I want to see. Because as I'm closer to you, I mean, I liked him. It's good. But I think he had some wins in there where he didn't play particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
And was frustrating at the time to say that, he just didn't look that good and they won. But he wasn't that great against San Diego. And he wasn't that great in this game. Or wasn't that great, the Chargers, I mean. Or he wasn't that great in this game or that game. And what do you mean? What are you saying? And it's like, well, what we're saying is that, he was sped up in some of those games. He lost some accuracy in some of those games. And, a lot of checkdowns and dump offs to running backs. And you get this pushback. Well, I don't know. Has it been sort of exposed here in the final month that you've got a good but maybe not great player? Or is it all too early to say that? Because certainly there's got to be some room for growth there. But how much? How much physical ceiling does Mac Jones have? Let me just facilitate here for a second.
Sure, yeah.
Big Jim, are you there?
Yes.
Who would you rather have if you're the New England Patriots right now at quarterback? Mac Jones or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Murray.
Oh, boy, that's an unkind cut, Murray.
Murray. That is.
Yeah, when we're talking for now in the next few years, I mean, the guy did make a Super Bowl as much as I've dumped on him.
Thank you. You finally come around on that. Thank you.
And so here's where so I think he's had an excellent season. One, he's been out there because he still is a bit of a puss. Mac Jones greater than Jimmy Garoppolo when it comes to toughness. If you watch Garoppolo in that game-tying drive yesterday, even I got to tip my cap. Like, it was awesome. And I know he has better weapons there. Deebo Samuel, it comes to mind immediately. But, no, I'll give credit. Garoppolo is good in spots. So, right now, between those two, Garoppolo over Mac Jones, yes.
35 and 15. Just saying. 70%. 700 win percentage.
Maz, that is how willing Murray is to bury Mac Jones. He will praise Jimmy Garoppolo in his place.
Exactly.
That's where we are with that.
Fell into the facilitation web is what
Gotcha.
It's a facilitation pickle.
Back to your phones, Sean in Salem. Go ahead, Sean.
What's up, guys? Yeah, listen, we all know Bill. He hires guys he can micromanage, plain and simple. And we've seen that forever. And I think since the bye week and COVID ramped up, we've seen it where he had to rely more and more on his assistant coaches to do the job.
What does COVID have to do with that?
Because they separate within the building, and whether they're doing things, whatever you want to call it, at home or whatever it is, it's not easy to get the whole team together. Especially
what?
If you're trying to...
Sean, they practice every day, man.
Yeah, but not together.
They do. They practice together.
No.
What do you think they have?
Why isn't this affecting other teams?
Three different groups out there? The meetings, they may be splitting up, or there may be stuff like that. You might be right. But on the field, they're out there practicing. What are you talking about? They don't split up in different groups. The special teams doesn't go in the morning, and the offense doesn't go at night, where Bill checks in at the end of the day and says, hi, I wonder what my special teams did today at practice. That's not the way that's going. And Bill can be out there for all of it. Oh, stop with that. Please, stop with that. Bill turned over his special teams last year to either a guy that wasn't ready or had in over his head or the players won't listen to or something. And, I can't even remember how were their special teams last year, Maz. Like, we were so fixated on Cam Newton and all the bigger stuff that we never got around to the special teams. So, I don't know. But this year has been an utter train wreck. From the first week of they got a punt blocked in week one, didn't they?
Yes. Well, I don't remember if it was week one, but it might have been week one. Look, Mike, last year overall, their special teams were pretty good, right? Again, Folk was good. Bailey was pretty good last year. And their return game with Olszewski was pretty good, or at least got good as the year went along. So I thought by the end of the year, their special teams were decent. But this thing this year, I mean, usually with them, if there's some sort of major problem, they address it quickly, decisively, and then it's gone. And that this thing has persisted all year long. And so I have no choice but to believe that this guy is not. At the end of the day, it is a reflection on Bill. As much as we talk about the special teams coach, it is a reflection on Bill.
And it's just simple operational stuff. Munch and Denham. Go ahead, Munch.
Hey, yep. I just wanted to talk about watching that game yesterday. It was like they were prepping for a colonoscopy. It was all crap. And I have another thing. Maz was picking on my name last week because I got pulled over. And Maz, I'd rather be a Munch than a Maz. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Let's go to Munch.
I wasn't really picking on your name. Call anytime.
Here on the other end of the spectrum, it's Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I have three quick points. I haven't seen any growth in this team since the beginning. I feel like they're just as undisciplined at the end as they were in the beginning, which is very uncharacteristic. And with respect to the fourth and one, I mean, you guys were just alluding to it, but I took it to mean that they didn't trust Jones. They didn't trust him to get a quarterback sneak for 1 yard, which I find very scary. And the final thing is, I know it didn't really matter at the end because they just had a few seconds left, but when they were doing those lateral throws, may I remind everybody that Miami did this to us 5 years ago, and they executed it perfectly. And I would have thought that Bill Belichick, who was embarrassed with that play, might have coached up his team so that if they ever had to do it in the reverse, that they'd be able to do it. But apparently not.
Okay, Mary. Thanks for the call. I'm not going to get on him for the final play. The thing about they're the same team that they were earlier in the year making the same mistakes, I don't totally agree. Like I think there's parts of the game of their game that showed tremendous growth. The defense, you know, started out real shaky with real questions coming out of the Dallas game and the Tampa Bay game and things of this. And then it felt like, again, we felt Bill took over and the defense improved and they made all these plays in the passing game and they were winning on defense. And I thought I saw real growth there. Well, that took a total stop right after the bye. And so, you know, what's happened there? You know, what happened to the backsliding on defense? And don't tell me it's because COVID doesn't allow them all to meet together. I think that's ridiculous. No, there's still a story there about what happened during the bye, how they came out of the bye. And I can't imagine it's still affecting them, but it started them, you know, it started some downward momentum and they haven't been able to pull themselves out because maybe they're a little mentally weak.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, the end of the day, we can talk about whatever the particulars were in that bye week. They're brittle. It came apart fast, and it came apart way too easily. Starting with that Indy game, it just started to disintegrate, and they couldn't stop it.
Okay, more of your Patriots calls, and we get to that incredible night last night in Las Vegas right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe.
It's about me. Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and 21. They can get a first down without a touchdown by getting it to the 2-yard line. Fires and into the end zone. It is Palmer for the touchdown.
What a play, Justin Herbert.
So here we go again on our fourth down. Fourth down, Herbert fires, caught, and again they just barely get the first down. This time it's Allen. So Herbert buys time. They needed 10, got 10 and a half, moves the sticks. Fourth and 10, Herbert fires, caught, inside the 30 goes Mike Williams. 15 seconds, and the Chargers have to use that last timeout.
You have to give Justin Herbert credit. I mean, he is appeared to be out of it, and it just seems like every time he is, he makes another play.
Herbert firing, and it is going to be caught in the end zone by the big body Mike Williams. Insanity. This is just insane. 83 yards, made every fourth down. The 206.
I don't know what to say. This Herbert is unbelievable, though. How many fourth downs have they? It looked like the game was over multiple times, and he just keeps
rushing.
Okay,
overtime.
How many fourth downs? Six.
Dig.
Six for six. There were five fourth downs in the fourth quarter. The sixth play was 5 seconds left from their 12-yard line. So all in essence, a fourth down play. In that quarter, Justin Herbert converted fourth and six, fourth and 21 for a touchdown, fourth and 10, fourth and 10, fourth and 10, and then first and 10 with 5 seconds left from the 12, which is essentially a fourth down play. Maz, your thoughts on that night?
Oh, ridiculous. And I'll tell you, the two touchdown throws, especially the second one, ridiculous. Ridiculous for him to be able to gun it in that small a spot under those circumstances. And so, look, crazy finish. I'll tell you what, you know, again, there's so many angles from this game. But to me, the most one of the most bizarre things of this final Sunday in the NFL, as the Raiders lined up for that kick, they were the only team that didn't really care whether it went through or not. The Chargers' fate depended on it. The Steelers' fate depended on it. Meanwhile, Carlson lines up and doesn't have to worry, really, whether he makes it or not, because they're going to the playoffs either way. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
The whole finish was as thrilling as it was tedious. Was that like a 22-play, two-minute drill at the end of regulation there that took forever? Along with the constant crowbarring of the effing refs. So on the one hand,
Murray, how could you offer any complaint over that product last night?
Mike, I'm saying it was as thrilling as it was tedious.
Tedious?
Yeah, it was. That last 20-minute, two-minute drive was like, oh, all right. Like, because the refs also kept getting involved. But let me finish, because it was unreal, because on those fourth down throws, and Herbert overall, but definitely on those fourth down throws, you'll think I'm nuts. I thought I was watching Marino. He looked like that with the zip on the ball. You can see the unlimited potential with that kid. But on the other hand, too, it was just like, oh, my God, get with this. And I wanted that tie so bad, the rest of the world watching that. It should have ended in a tie. I carry such an unhealthy level of disdain for that Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach, since that moron blew that game against the Chiefs with him going for it with reckless abandon on fourth down after fourth down. And he did it again in his own 18 or whatever the hell it was last night. Oh, I can't stand that guy. So as much as I like Herbert, the Chargers got just desserts there. They don't, with that coach, they don't deserve to win any game.
Can I just add quickly that I so wanted the Steelers and that fat slob at quarterback to get porked.
Same.
Me too.
I so badly wanted that, but I respect the fact that the Raiders actually tried to win the game.
Well, and you know why, Maz?
Do tell.
Well, why do you think? Do you think they're doing it out of the competitive spirit of the game and doing the right thing and we play to win the football game? You think that's why they did it?
No, they avoid the Chiefs.
Yeah, they get a better seating out of it.
Thank you. If they had just taken the knee and let it run out and make the playoffs in a tie, they're the seventh seed, and they go to Kansas City, where I think they've been outscored this year 89-23 or something like this. The Raiders played the Chiefs twice and got their balls kicked in on both of them. And so for those who want to give Bisacci, the coach there, the interim coach there in Oakland and in Vegas, and the Raiders all this credit for, you know, playing it out and, you know, not settling for the tie, there was a reason they were smart too, by the way, because I much, much, much would rather go to Cincinnati than Kansas City, especially given the Raiders' history. Now, the Raiders also got their brains beat in by the Bengals, but be that as it may, I'll take my chances with Cincinnati again versus a third matchup with KC where they would have no chance. So there was a practical reason for them to do it. You know, but that being said, you also could have made the case that they exposed themselves to a blocked field goal going the other way and them being eliminated from the postseason if they had not taken the knee. So, there was that drama. You know, and at the time, because I think Michaels or Collinsworth misstated who they were going to face in the postseason at one point earlier in the fourth. So, in real time, this was all sort of unclear. And so, in real time, I wasn't sure it was smart of the Raiders to go ahead and kick. And when they first did it, Maz, because again, in real time, I didn't understand all the ramifications. In real time, I actually said, oh, you know, playing to win is actually kind of stupid. You know, all you owe your franchise there is making the playoffs. So if it would have been smarter to take the knee and not expose a blocked field goal going the other way, take the effing knee and take the tie. So I actually thought it was stupid in real time. And then I realized, okay, they get Cincinnati instead of KC, and that's actually the smart play. The other thing that was confusing in real time was the timeout called by Brandon Staley. We've had all day now to, you know, read about it and figure it out, and now I understand it's really not that egregious a call by Brandon Staley, but you want to weigh in on that, Jim? Is that part of your hatred of Brandon Staley, and you think he screwed that up last night?
Yeah, Mike, there's now video of Austin Eckler, the Chargers running back, saying to, I forget what player it is on the Raiders, saying, were you guys, it's him mouthing, were you guys going to take the knee? And the Vegas player goes, yeah. Like, I think, and now the Emmanuel Acho, the former player, has video out saying how there was a change from the linebacker to a safety that allowed...
No, they so what happened during, they called a timeout and they took out a run-stuffing linebacker and put in an extra defensive lineman.
Okay, extra defensive lineman, but he allowed that run to go. The Vegas Raiders, I will be convinced of this to the day I die, they were willing to take the tie. If they got the first down, they probably would have kicked it, but they were willing to acquiesce and play for the tie. That timeout allowed that field goal to be, the run to happen, the first down to be picked up, and for that kick to go to be set up and to go through.
I was going to say, at a minimum, I think he overthought it, Mike. I think Staley overthought it. Because, again, he had a linebacker on the field, and I know they put a defensive lineman in, but I would argue to you that a linebacker might actually be more valuable in the run stopping, because you might give up a couple of yards instead of giving up 10. If the guy pokes through the defensive line and now he gets the 10 yards, which they did, and then they're in field goal range, it completely changes everything. So, I just thought he overthought the whole thing. I thought, again, that guy overthinks everything. He has fourth and down on his own 18-yard line, and he goes for it and gives up 3 points in the process. Now, look, the defense stiffened, and they didn't give up a touchdown. But what did they lose the game by? A field goal. So they gave away 3 points. That was stupid.
So I think the timeout, and again, it took all the dust settling to figure it out, but I do not think the timeout was a big factor. I do think he tried to get the right defensive personnel in there. Turned out maybe to be the wrong personnel, or they just mishandled it, or they just mis-executed it. So as egregious as that timeout felt in real time, it's less egregious when you understand everything that was going on, I think. And I do think the Raiders would have kicked the field goal either way. All right, so there were 5 seconds on the play clock when they called the timeout with 38 seconds. So the Raiders had to run another play. They were going to run another play. If they gained 0 yards, it's a 57-yarder, which is certainly steep, but their kicker's amazing. They've got one of the best kickers in the league there with the Raiders. So if they gain nothing on that next play and it's 57 yards, do they kick it? Maybe not. Maybe, because that's... There is risk there, but I'll tell you what. If I'm the Raiders, I kick the 57-yarder. I'm trying to stay out of Kansas City, and my kicker's balls. So I would have kicked it from 57. Jacobs ended up gaining 10, which made it like an easy call. If he had gained 5, and it's a 52-yarder, they're still kicking it. Or they should. They should. There's a lot of value in staying out of Kansas City. So I think all that looked worse in real time, and because there was confusion. There was confusion in the booth. I think the players were confused, Murray. I know what you're talking about, Austin Eckler. I remember watching that in real time. Like, Eckler looked at the guy he was talking to with this sort of smile, like, really? Like, you know, but I think the Raider players were confused. Everyone was confused. It was confusing in real time.
I mean, that whole thing was, that's as crazy a sequence I've seen in all my years watching sports. Like, that thing was just nuts.
I can tell you this, going into the game, the only way the Steelers don't get in is a tie. And you're like, oh, God, no chance of that. And then, as it unfolds, you're sitting there going, you want to laugh in Pittsburgh's face.
And did you see the one, there was one shot of a random Steelers fan in that stadium. You see him, he's like, come on. Like, oh, yes, keep the camera on that a-hole, please.
Tremendous drama. And it kind of porked you. I'm sorry. I think Cincinnati's a better pull for you than Buffalo. I know there's differing opinions on this, but that's mine. I would have much rather have gone into Cincinnati if I'm the Patriots than going into Buffalo and facing them for a third time. I think Buffalo's a better team than Cincinnati, period. You know, I think Cincinnati, first-year playoff coach, first-year playoff quarterback, I think that's a better matchup for you than Buffalo, who's beaten you 3 out of 4. But again, we can agree to disagree. Just know that you got mixed up in all of that, because if the game ended in a tie, you're going to Cincinnati instead of Buffalo again. So that did impact you. All right, that was tremendous last night. Back to your calls on that or whatever you want. After Big Jim Murray again, folks, a lot of breaking news across the NFL today. Here's the very latest with Jim.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brandon, you took a timeout there with 38 seconds left before the third and fourth. Why did you take a timeout there?
Yeah, we needed to get in the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Derek Carr said after the game that timeout changed their mentality. Do you think that had any reason to do with them?
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we, you know, we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
Was any part of the motivation for you saving time to potentially win it if they were to miss that field goal?
My mindset was to make the field goal as long as possible.
Brandon Staley. I mean, ultimately, I believe him, but it's easy to be dubious because he's such a freaking wiener with the way he calls a football game, you know, right out of the freaking analytics play sheet, that it's easy to sort of think that he got ahead of himself or went by some sort of predetermined script or something. But when you really think it out, the timeout was not the issue. He may have put the wrong defensive personnel in there. It may have sort of slowed the game down for the Raiders, who, again, I think should have been going for the field goal and I think was going for the field goal, but maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't, and they were just letting the clock run, and when the Chargers called the timeout, they could actually sit there and go, all right, well, we are on the 39, a few more yards, and if they're really dialed in as an organization, there's someone in Bisacci's ear saying, listen, you know, Frank, again, that's my default name when I don't know your name, Frank. It's like, Frank, we don't want to go to Kansas City now. You know, let's kick. So maybe the game just slowed down and gave the Raiders a full chance to really get all their ducks in a row and know what was on the line. But it's not like the Raiders still just handed it off coming out of the timeout.
Right.
And the Chargers allowed 10 yards. I mean, that was really the thing. But I think the Raiders kicker is good from 50-plus anyway. That guy's a freaking beast. But either way, the drama involved with that was just tremendous. All right, back to your phones. As promised, a couple of friends here on Good Landline, so they get the preferential treatment. Dakota, go ahead.
Hey, before I get to the Mac Jones, one thing on the timeouts. I think once he calls the first timeout, Oakland's really not sure what they want to do. So what Staley should have done was call another timeout, get out of timeouts, and then there's some risk that if the Raiders kick a field goal and they miss, then the Raiders could go down and do something with it. So, you know, he obviously would have called the first timeout, but should have called the second timeout right away to be completely zero, and then the Raiders don't have to worry about anything. Mac Jones, all right, I've been a supporter all year for this guy. You know, I think he's the guy for the future. But I'm afraid, and I mentioned something yesterday on Twitter about the comp for him, and I'm going to compare him to Maz, to Eddie Rodriguez, a guy with tremendous stuff that looks lights out, looks great, got all his stuff together, and then sometimes he just loses it, like a starting pitcher with really, really good stuff.
Okay, Dakota, thanks for the call. I hate the analogy.
Me too.
Because I think Eddie Rodriguez is 10-cent head, but, you know, lightning arm, which is a little strong, but you know what I mean.
Right.
I think Eddie Rodriguez has good stuff, but horrible makeup. I think Mac Jones has good makeup, but I'm not sure he has the stuff, Maz.
No, I'm worried about the arm strength as much as anything. And again, look, you know, it's not an issue of mobility. It's and I do wonder. I just think in that league, There come times in those big moments where you got to be able to rifle that ball into a small window.
Well, look at those fourth down throws Herbert made.
Exactly, Murray.
So you want to make that comp to a young quarterback. You think I just don't, from what we've seen from Mac Jones, I don't think he can make those kind of throws.
Agreed. And so, look, Brady, you know, Brady's arm got stronger, too. If this kid comes back next year, you know, with an off season of conditioning, you want to clear your throat, Mike? If he comes back next year and there's a little more zip on the ball, I'll feel better about it because I think he's got a head for the game. I do, and I think that some of the mistakes absolutely can be chalked up to him being a rookie. But if that arm's not there, look again, when you watch some of these teams play in the big spots and these guys are making the big throws, including Brady, you need to be able to gun the ball in there sometimes.
Dan and Quincy, try and be brief. Please, Daniel.
Just before I agree with your matchup, Felger on Cincinnati, but just answer me two questions. Have you ever seen a spot missed by a yard? That fourth and one never should have happened.
Yeah, it was bad.
Especially after the replay. Oh, we gave you 6 inches. Thank you. Nothing from nothing was still nothing. It never should have came down to that. And should Belichick have called the timeout before the two-minute warning at the end of the game, forcing Miami to run another play? Because they had the opportunity to call a timeout at 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
I think they had him right where they wanted him, Danny. 3rd and 8, you stop him there, you get the ball back with timeouts. I think that wasn't a second guess for me.
All right, on the matchup, okay, I agree with you, Felga, 1,000%. The Patriots' only hope is to win a game through rushing the passer. And I prefer Burrow is more of a pocket quarterback. They gave up 51 sacks going into the game yesterday. And I'd much rather have that versus a guy who can move around where you have to start devoting resources to spying and then ends containing, and now you're left with two guys to beat their man to rush the quarterback. This is a bad matchup. They're going to get killed right now. And I'm emotional about it, but I'll develop the opinion by the end of the week. But that's...
So, sorry, Danny. I thought you were, you know, I don't know if they're getting killed. I just liked the parameters in Cincinnati much better than in Buffalo. You can still win in Buffalo, but mostly my analysis there, Maz, is that
Buffalo's got to kind of give it to you, right?
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm catching on this. That Buffalo's going to screw it up, and that's entirely possible. If Buffalo plays their game, I have a hard time seeing how the way you're playing right now is going to be good enough.
Yeah, Buffalo's ceiling's way higher. It's just it is. And the other thing, since Danny brought up the pass rush, they got to figure out what the hell's going on with Judon.
Like, he ain't right.
Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's that simple. But if Judon's not the same player, they're in big trouble, let alone Barmore. Apparently, you know, dodged a bullet yesterday at the end of that game. There's no structural damage allegedly in the knee, right? Those are the reports.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's according to Rapp. He's like, I think Rapp gets the good news. There's nothing to see here. Kind of stuff.
Absolutely, which is why I say allegedly.
Like, I'd be surprised if Barmore were out there on Saturday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, so again, if you're missing pass rushers against Buffalo, what you have to hope for is that it's 15 degrees and they can't throw.
Yeah, and the other, like, them screwing up, since that Patriots win here, Allen's looked like ass. Like, he had those 3 picks against the Falcons. They kept the Jets in that game yesterday. Like, he hasn't been playing all that great.
All right, long commercial-free segment, isn't it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
First and 10 from the Dolphin, 22. Jones drops the snap, tries to dive on it, but did he get there in time? Dolphin had a shot at it. Miami's got it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Turnover number 2 for New England.
Can you be any more inept on a Sunday when you cross the plus 30? Nothing but errors offensively when you threaten today.
Jalen Phillips.
Unbelievable.
Was there for the Dolphins coming off the right edge of the defense.
Just dropped it.
Mac Jones dropped it, trying to pull away from center.
So on the fumbled snap, was there something with David that physically that had him out for dead, or was that more rotation?
No, poorly executed play.
Yes, it was, Billy. And a killer. Third quarter, you're down 2 touchdowns. You're in it. You're at, like, what, the 22 or something? You're in, like, you're in good spot.
They were moving.
That was the drive where Mac Jones maybe his best throw of the day, the over-the-top ball to Myers down the sidelines. Good throw and catch.
Tremendous.
Yeah, for 28 yards. And then Bolden had a big gain on second and 10, a draw for 19 yards. You're in business. And he just drops this because they changed centers for a second there, and they couldn't execute the center change. Like, that is, again, I put that on the list with the lining up over the center on the punt. And the, again, the receivers running into each other after a timeout where Mac Jones pitches a fit to the sideline because the play wasn't in time, or he had to call the timeout. Dropping up, so the other center comes in, and that's enough to throw you off? You put the ball on the ground? Who the hell is that? That's not the Patriots. So that to me is the most glaring stuff from yesterday, the stuff that makes them look like a dysfunctional team. Back to your thoughts. Dan in the car. What do you got, Dan?
So I'm not optimistic for anything but one and done. When you lose three out of your last four, and most of them are not playoff teams, I think you're cooked. But I will say, in the Bills versus Cincinnati matchup, the numbers and the data says that the Bills should be a better matchup for you. The Bills and the Patriots had the fewest number of games on their schedule this year against playoff teams at 5, and the Bills had the worst record amongst them all. They only had one win against the playoff team all year long, and that team happened to be the Patriots. Cincinnati was 4-2 against playoff teams this year. Now, they were dreadful against non-playoff teams, as the Patriots were, and the Bills cleaned up on non-playoff teams. But the bottom line is the Bills have only beat one playoff team, and the Patriots are barely a playoff team.
All right.
They beat Kansas City.
And there's just not any point in arguing this. I mean, it's all fantasy. Who knows? Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm right. It doesn't matter. You've got the Buffalo Bills on that one. And, I mean, the Bills have beaten you 3 out of 4 times. So, like, To me, a lot of the stuff about people think Buffalo's a better matchup is that you just don't want to acknowledge the Bills are good or Josh Allen is good. I don't know if it's a – you don't want to give in to the Bills mafia, or you just don't want to give in to your preconceived notion about the Bills always sucking and Allen being a jittery bum or whatever. I don't know. They've beaten you 3 out of the last 4 times.
Yeah, or it's fantasy players who just think Burrow's the flavor of the month like everybody else. And I like Burrow. Okay, but I'll tell you, there's one reason to me why you might be better off in Buffalo. Not that there's that much of a difference. And that's because it could be really cold and awful, and it might not be a great night to throw. And that might keep the game close.
Yeah, look, I think you can beat Buffalo. I think you can beat Buffalo. But Buffalo's got to be complicit, though. Big time. Here's Craig in Boston. Go ahead, Craig.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the remaining 14 NFL teams and the question of who is really a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. I believe there's a truth in the statement of any given Sunday, and the objective of having parity in the NFL is working. I wouldn't be surprised by any outcome of any playoff game, but I would also say the probability of the 6 and 7 seeds from each conference going more than two playoff games is really remote.
Well, let me tell you something, Craig. I think you're just leaving out something that's glaringly obvious, and that is the bye teams have a huge advantage. And if Green Bay or Tennessee don't make the Super Bowl, it will be a surprise. It should be a surprise. And it's just the law of averages. Home field's one thing, which is obvious in and of itself. But playing one fewer game, I mean, do you understand, like, when you stack up those odds of having to go one fewer time? It's like it's whatever, Maz, 33% or however you would calculate that is, I think, such a massive advantage. Never mind, there's no risk of losing next weekend for Tennessee and Green Bay. The injury, the cumulative effect of week after week of pounding playoff football, etc., like, those things are such a massive advantage, and shows you what a complete gag job it was on the part of the Packers last year. Tampa made it last year and won it last year as whatever they were. Were they a 5 seed, Murray?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So they, they would have had to have been because they were on the road all 3 weeks. So they were a 5 seed, maybe even a 6 seed. But I think before that, if you go back and look, the last wild card team to make a Super Bowl, it has been a long time. It's been like, and I can do it real quick in a break.
I think it's the Ravens in 2012.
I mean, it's been a long, pretty much every Super Bowl for a decade, generally, roughly speaking, was either a 1 or a 2 seed, meaning they were a bye team. The bye is massive. So I think Tennessee is not a classic number one. I mean, they're 12-5, for Pete's sake. And I don't think they're head and shoulders, you know, better than anybody else, or that their field is a dramatic home field advantage. So the AFC can be more wide open, but Green Bay should go in the NFC. I'm sorry. They should.
Like, to me, they're the biggest favorite out there. I could see Tennessee losing because of the quarterback. So, you know, I just don't think that Tannehill's any sort of slam dunk. But Green Bay, they have no excuse this year. Zero.
No, but they'll lose and they'll have one. So, you know, just wait for that. Matt, and yes, Murray?
I was going to just ask, they're getting those players back too. Smith, Alexander, Bakhtiari, right?
They should be more fully loaded, which will just be make it even more crushing when Brady goes in there and wins again. Matt in Wyoming. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just really quick, this whole Joe Judge keeping his job, but Brian Flores getting fired, just shows you how dumb these billionaires are when it comes to running an NFL team for the most part. But just back to my original point, with the 4th-and-1 before halftime yesterday, and then ultimately, you know, Bill playing games and then getting 4th-and-6 and punting, you know, that used to be a time where the Patriots would double dip before halftime and getting the ball after half, you know, get points there, maybe it's 3, and then get another 7 after half. And then you give yourself, you know, either a 10-point advantage or you're, you know, even up with a team like that going into, the majority of the second half. So it just shows me that, one, Bill doesn't trust this offense at all, but two, even when Bill does try to trust him, this team can't execute to like the level that Bill expects them to. So it just goes back to that first point where Bill just doesn't trust him at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he was wrong not to trust him. It was 4th-and-inches. Danny was saying it was 4th-and-inches. The play before, you should have had no shot on that drive. You were 3rd-and-18. And you ran a simple little wide receiver screen to Kendrick Bourne, and Miami just let you go all the way to the stakes. Like, that was horrible tackling on the part of the Dolphins. But on a 3rd-and-18, you kind of conceded, and Bourne just kept going. Miami wouldn't tackle him. And it wasn't 4th-and-1 or 1.5. It was 4th-and-inches. And you're on the plus 50 of the field, and it's Tua and the Dolphins. And you're afraid to go for that? And then you bitch about the execution after because, what, you couldn't draw them off sides properly? Well, that's a long shot to begin with. Like, that's ridiculous. What happened to Bill on that one? I thought that was completely weak.
I'll tell you what. You said this earlier, like, you know, maybe they were supposed to go for it and they didn't. Maybe it was both. Maybe there was supposed to be some initial attempt to draw, and then if they didn't, run the play.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but whatever it was, it just, you know, and he was pissed. He was pissed at that and at that, obviously, the thing with Guy on the punt. Those two plays, to me, pissed him off the most yesterday.
Okay, we'll reset our top stories after Murray gets you updated on everything going on across the league today, and it is a lot. Listen to this. No commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.